This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
All right, well, it's good to be here this afternoon, and as I see who all is here, I don't know if I have just a lot to offer. Hopefully some things that I share maybe resonate with you and can be an encouragement and a blessing. So in board leadership in times of crisis, I'm going to assume you're not in a crisis, but we as boards, we just find ourselves in tough situations quite a few times, things we did not expect to have come up. And so we as a board, we end up with what we end up with. So we'll talk about some of these things. I did go a little bit of a different direction. I'll tell you up front here. We go back to the few sentences here that describe it. We will talk some about that, the threats we face within and the threats we face without. As far as communication, how do you communicate? What do you communicate about? I'm not going to touch on that much, but cast a bit of a vision for what we could be doing as boards that may be helpful. Again, I don't have all the answers. I would love to have your feedback, as I'm going to try to wrap up a bit early and take your questions or input on things that you have learned and experienced. And some of you have spent many more years in the boardroom than I have. This is my family, and I just throw that picture up there. We have a party going on pretty much everywhere we go, and we're right at that stage where the oldest is almost 16, and we have another little one on the way. So, and everything I'm involved in is just, as you know, it's a blessing to come home and just be home with your family, and that's where my heart is really at. So we'll talk about what we face as boards in ministries, threats within. Usually when we think of threats to our ministries, we think of what we face as we do ministry. And we think of governments, we think of laws, we think of things like that. But really, if we're honest with ourselves, our threats as a ministry just come from within our own missionaries. The things we deal with, those are the things that can tend to upend us. A few years ago, I was talking to, I would say, a well-seasoned director at a mission, and he made the comment, I was in business, and I was on the board, and he was the director, and I was the chairman, and he said, you know, Marcus, he said, running a nonprofit, running a mission is more difficult than running a business. And he's here today, and I quote him. I asked him if I could quote him. He said, yeah, that's fine. What did I say again? And so, you know, those of us that have had business experience, but running a business is hard. It's difficult. A lot of challenges, things we did not expect. But then go try running a mission. It doesn't seem it should be that way, because we do hire Christians, right? People who love the Lord. Dedicated Christians, dedicated enough to move on to the mission field. And then you get in the mission field and everyone does life together, right? We not only work together, we do social, we do church together. And it can get pretty tangled. After a while, when it's going really well, it's a beautiful thing. When it's not going well, we have some pretty big challenges. So those who work in our missions are normal, broken people who have a heart for God. And I believe it's important that we as a board see them in that light. They are dedicated people, but we're all broken. In fact, they have problems. Not only do you have your employees to care for, those that you have hired, but they do have spouses and children. And the spouse is going to have an effect on the mission, but you didn't hire them to work there, did you? But they definitely have an impact. And they just add to the dynamic mix of a mission field. And in my travels, sometimes, you know, if you go to a mission, I'll go and check in with the director, see how it's gone. We were visiting some of the young people from our church who were in mission work, and you end up in the director's office, and he knows you're a director, and he knows you've been on a board, and he just unloads for an hour or two. Because, you know what? There's a lot of big things going on. In a year's time, every mission will just face some pretty tough things. So learning to accept that as a board, I think, is important. We are going to have problems, and how are we going to deal with them in a Christ-like and effective way? I'm going to throw this in, DISC assessments. I don't know if you do this with your team or not. One, I have found this very beneficial in different organizations I've been involved with. To take a DISC assessment as a team, figure out what your personality is, what you do well at, what you don't do well at, just it eliminates a lot of problems. And some problems, I believe, that we see as moral. Even with my brothers and I in business, our business coach sat down with us, we did the DISC assessment, we talked through it, and we walked away, and we have always appreciated each other more since we have done that. And probably was at the beginning of some of our really good years teaming together. And still, when I see my brothers, I think about what their natural tendencies are, ways I can relate with them well, and it's just a real gift. Some people, you just love them, and it's because they relate to you in a way that you really appreciate. And it's a small part of it, but before we call these threats within on our team, before we call them sin issues, let's talk about personality, and we might figure out that a few things that are going on our mission are can be attributed to personality, and our team relaxes. I'll throw a few more things out. What about those in your organization who are not willing to come under the authority of the director you put in place? What about those who have been dismissed from your organization who just can't let it go? And they're just going to talk and talk and talk about what's going on. How do you communicate these things with the public? It's tempting as boards to hope that this won't be a big deal, it's going to blow over, and we can just let it be. And we never know what's going to happen, but yet I think it can be important to put a word on it as a board. People are looking to you as a board. And how can we do well in communicating? And always, always, I believe supporters know we're going to have problems in mission, and it just builds trust when we can have open and honest communication as much as is possible. I know there's plenty of situations where we need to, it crosses some boundaries to just say everything that is going on. So what about your board? How does your board work? How do you work it out in disagreements? Maybe your board always agrees, and that's a problem, right? If you always just agree with things, there's definitely people aren't being honest. What about when politics come into play? What about when there are bishops involved, when there's strong personalities, and they begin to push around on parachurch boards and organizations? You're getting phone calls, you're getting emails, and people are very much expressing opinions, especially if you're the board chairman. What do you do with that? This can create big problems because you are under them. I've seen situations where when that happens, bylaws are not respected, board processes are not respected, people become nervous, board members become more focused on pleasing those above them than they are focused on running the ministry. And I believe if you're a board chairman, there's times where you need to just address the dysfunction, call it what it is. But that our board is within our organization, right? This is not a without threat. We are part of the team. And so how we function as a board, our honesty, the way we work together, the trust we have built up is really, really big. Let's talk about some threats without. And depending what organization you're part of, the threats without can be huge. The bigger the organization, the bigger the problem, right? Is that how it works? We just have challenges that we never foresaw coming. When something tragic happens within the ministry and there is an investigation, the law is considered and followed, but policy is reviewed. How bulletproof is your policy, your filing system, your accounting practices? And are you as a board aware of the religious protection that we have at this point here in the U.S.? When it comes to hiring, when it comes to making decisions, I think it's important to know these things. A few things for myself as a director at Meadows of Hope. I had a lesbian couple call and wonder about placing their daughter at Meadows of Hope. How do you respond to that? We had some activists that got pretty active on Facebook. They were pretty worked up about some staff at Camp Andrews. Their picture was on Facebook, and they had their faces painted like they were Indians, and they were running some activities for a summer group. And so these activists got pretty worked up. And so their comments on Facebook attracted other people's comments, other like-minded people's comments, until this was, you know, a big deal. And we, you know, what do? Do you let it up? Do you take it down? How do you handle these situations? We had a group that was coming for the weekend to Camp Andrews, a couple hundred people, and they were getting a lot of public flack. I don't know what they did, but the LGBTQ community was pretty upset with them. And so they knew they were coming to Camp Andrews for a weekend, and so they went and investigated Camp Andrews, dug into our policy, dug into everything they could online, and started going after us for our policy that might not be friendly towards the LGBTQ community. And your administrators are just facing these things, right? It's just coming at them. Some days it's a lot. Administrators need wisdom, but they need to be in constant contact with their board chairman about these situations that arise. They need to be letting you know. Maybe they can handle it, maybe they can't, maybe they need input, but they need to be letting you know when they have challenges like this. You as a board should not be surprised when something pops up and you had no idea, and it could eventually turn into a legal issue. Administrators should be an open book with their chairman. The level of trust needs to be high and communication open, as ministry leaders need someone to go to, and sometimes they need to vent, and sometimes they're asking for advice. And it might be good if you have clarity whether your administrator is calling you just to talk about how terrible the day was before they get home, before their wife needs to hear it, or they're really asking you for advice, and be aware of where they're at. A few years ago, Meadows of Hope was going through a pretty tough time, and I remember there for about a week, I was talking with my board chairman a lot more than I was talking with my wife. I didn't look back at how many phone calls were between us, but we talked a lot. And I just kept them abreast of the situation, because if it falls apart, who's responsible? It's the board, right? And so we need to know as boards. And then at Meadows of Hope, we have teen girls under age 18, teen girls from the public. And there's so many things that we face. We're under 3,800 regulations. Knives are locked up, restraint training, paperwork needs to be done. Some of it feels a little over the top. Reporting incidents, I learned my lesson the hard way. A couple years ago, there was a teen girl who, she had an attitude, and when she got an attitude, it could go for days. And some things that happened that it just was hardly safe to keep her in the program anymore. They were on a hiking trip, and some of the staff called and said, can you come out and spend a day or two out here with us and help us? Because this girl was also fairly big, and there was some fear over what would happen if she needed to be helped. Turns out, in the end, she did need to be restrained. I was involved in that, and of course, we filed a state protocol and handled them well. She ended up going to the hospital. She refused to calm down. We had to call the police eventually, and she ended up in the ambulance to the hospital. There was a bruise on her arm, right? Thankfully, we had done our paperwork, and the paperwork talked about falling in the creek and hitting her arm on the rock. And so I was aware after a while that there was allegations being made against me as a director. The hard part about it was it happened on Friday and I had to preach on Sunday. I knew I was fine, but it's hard to stand up there in front of your church when you're, under investigation. And a few days later, an investigator called and said, "We don't think you need an attorney. Can we just talk this out? I think I know what we're dealing with." And within 5 minutes, the phone call was over, and we were friends, and they dropped all charges. But this is serious stuff for your administrator, and your administrator needs to be telling you as a board what they're facing. You all dealt with COVID. There's all kinds of stuff we could talk about with COVID. All the changes, how do you as a board even handle that kind of stuff? How do you know what's coming and what to do with it? The point I want to make is that rarely do missions shut down because of outside situations out of their control, but most fatal situations come from within. It's the things we're not expecting. And I see enough of experience in the room, I think you know what I'm talking about. The situations that can take us down are normally not coming from without. I will say on communication with supporters, openness, honesty, transparency, just as much as is possible, I would encourage that. So I'd like to talk a little bit about maybe a bit of a different way of looking at things as a board. First of all, we'll talk about board awareness. You probably heard the words founder's board, rubber stamp board. The director might say has a good board, and we wonder, does that mean everyone just agrees with him? These are his friends. Or are they actually standing up to him and challenging his thought processes? And the board members may say, why am I here? What difference do I make? It feels like the chairman has a vision and we're here to just sort of take care of things and do what a board needs to do. And we go home feeling like we've helped a little bit, but not feeling like we're an influential part of the mission. So I'll share a few things here. And I want you to take this with a grain of salt. I know boards are not asleep at the wheel, but is there a way for us as boards to have our finger on the pulse of our organization enough that there are no surprises? We are going to face tough things. Board members can be faulted for being disengaged, for not knowing what's going on in their organizations, and for not demonstrating much desire to find out. Not that that's where your heart is, but that's maybe how the people in your organization are seeing you. And what can we as boards do about that? I don't know how it went when you were contacted to serve on the board that you're on. I assume all of you are on boards. I know the phrase that probably comes across the phone the most is that there's little work to do. It won't take much of your time. Would you be willing to consider serving on our board? What would happen if you call someone to serve on your board and you say, you know what, it's going to take everything you got. We're going to ask a lot of you and we want you involved. Isn't that what you really want as board members? So how do we prevent this? There's some suggestions that fly around out there. Or, you know, let's take away the personal liability protection for an organizational failure for board members and they'll perk up and pay attention like it's their own business. Will that change things? What if you aren't getting the full report from your director with what's really going on in your organization? How can you make wise choices? It really depends on what your director is bringing to the boardroom. Others say that board members don't really know what their job is, and so how are they supposed to perform well? The question I would ask is, do you as a board member know what is going on in your mission? Do you understand what your missionaries go through? Do you really know what's going on the ground? And how do you know if you've never experienced it before? What if you have not lived on the mission field? It's hard to truly understand what goes on and what your people are up against. So how many of you have sat down with your administrator and just ask questions? Ask questions about what he's up against, what's going on, how he handles it, what his biggest challenge is. And really asking with intent to grasp what your administrator has to deal with in a day's time. I've had the privilege of serving on a board and chairing a board. Unfortunately, I did that before I was a director at Meadows of Hope. I wish now I'd have been a director and then a board member and board chairman, because I look back and I think about all the mistakes that I made. I think it's important for us as board members to remember that, yes, we are in charge, but can we have a teachable spirit? And when we have board members that sit down with us and just ask questions, and I have a dear former board member here who does that kind of thing with me or has in the past, then just ask questions. Now we get together and talk. But he is very interested in understanding, I feel, what I am up against and really wants to know. And what's going to happen when you leave your director's office after having done that, he's going to say, you know what? I trust that man. And I can bring him anything. I know that he's going to have my back and understand what I'm up against. Understand to a point. But understand enough that I feel comfortable with him. There's a board member there at Meadows of Hope, and they decided to invite all the ministry staff over to their house this year. So me and my family had the privilege of going over Monday evening and spending the evening with them. And I said, so tell me why. I mean, this is great, but why are you doing it? His response was, how can I make good decisions for the ministry if I don't even know the staff? And so he wants to personally know the staff so he understands them well enough so when he makes decisions, he knows, has an idea what's going on. Not circumventing the board, but engaging directly with the staff. And I blessed him for it as the director. So let's talk about governance as leadership. I believe this is something that boards do. Some do really well. For some, this is a new concept. Boards can get a little bit of mission drift, too, as time goes along and sort of forget why they're there. But governance is leadership. Let's talk about this a little bit, and let's talk about the director and the board. The unspoken rule with boards is that they should not meddle or micromanage in the organization. That's true, right? We really need to let the director go for it. We support him. We give him direction, but we do not mess around and micromanage in there. I think what has happened here as time has gone on is that nonprofit managers have become leaders, and they're expected to clearly articulate the organization's mission, beliefs, values, and cultures. And they're expected to shape the agenda of what we talk about. And so let's look at the balance of who is in charge in our missions. They know what's going on. They bring us things. And so we're not supposed to meddle or micromanage in the organization. And so this can tend to result in board meetings where we're just reviewing the financial paperwork, looking at upcoming events, or listening to our director as he explains the vision for the mission. And after all, he sort of is the one with the vision, and we're listening to him. And we can identify with that, right? There are some board meetings where it feels like we're just warming a seat, doing our duty. The director's bringing us things, and we talk about it a bit, pat them on the back, say, good job, keep up the good work. Directors don't feel good about that because they know they have faults and failures too. At least your director should not feel good about that. And I'm sure for some of you on boards, you're doing an excellent job of this. The board is supposed to be the ultimate guardians of their organization's values. They need to be the ones to be setting the organization's agenda and priorities, and they need to have oversight of the strategic plans. So, as we look at at our directors and the board, I believe that directors have become leaders, and leadership has taken over the core elements of governance, and there's been consequences to the board. And this especially happens, I believe, when you have a very entrepreneurial or visionary director who communicates well and you can follow him, and we all of a sudden end up running off the tracks because we as a board are following him and not leading him. Board members are leaders along with the director. Board members will become more fulfilled, more engaged, and less frustrated as opportunities multiply for meaningful engagement in consequential issues. And when we say meaningful engagement in consequential issues, we're not talking about the financial paperwork. What do you think we're talking about? This is where we start getting into the messy problems that we have in missions, because we have Christian people, but they are broken, and we end up getting our hands dirty in a board meeting, which is great. I just love when directors can bring this stuff to a board and they hash it out with the director. Effective leadership is cognitively complex. Leaders need to be able to think and work effectively and simultaneously as managers, entrepreneurs, politicians, visionaries, analysts, learners, culture makers. And that's why we have a board. We have all kinds of giftings on the board, and we work together well with that. So let's talk about how a board should think. And I'm going to throw a few things out. Maybe these things are a bit counter to the way we normally think. Maybe some ideas are a little different. I really encourage your feedback on these. Generative thinking is a cognitive process that helps boards decide what to focus on beyond the current strategic priorities. So this is getting pretty mentally involved in where you're going as a mission or what you're dealing with. Historically, nearly everyone in a nonprofit except the board uses generative thinking to influence the organization. In other words, boards are not often present where and when the most important action occurs. Do you feel like that sometimes as boards? Or they have it all figured out, they did all the brainstorming, and now we're left to approve or disapprove. When it comes to generative governing, the boards adds too little, too late. They are at a disadvantage with not having the necessary language and framework to discuss it. There's a reason directors feel the way they do about a situation, but how do they bring you as a board along on this process? And then we're left at a disadvantage. What do we do with this? We trust our director. We want to say go for it, but shouldn't we know what's going on and have a word in this? In most organizations, the director is aided by his most senior staff to do the most influential generative thinking, and yet this generative thinking belongs to governance, to the board, and to the director as a team. When we think of directors, whether we think of them this way or we say admit this is reality, they're often lonely heroes who have nearly all the answers nearly all the time. And so your director is pretty normal. He will not admit to a weakness or confusion or uncertainty and saying he has no idea what to do in front of his board. That feels pretty vulnerable to say, you know what, I really don't know what I'm doing here. Can you all help me with this? So frequently, directors will do generative work alone or with their people around them. And the capacity to share this work with the board ranks among the director's most major contributions. The director should immerse the board in complex and critical matters as issues arise. The director describes dimly perceived concerns that cause wariness or unrest for him. He has no idea where this is going, but he senses something's going on, and he brings this to the board and says, listen, I don't know what I'm doing here. You start asking me questions. I want you to at least know that I'm uneasy about where the organization is currently at in this perspective or in this situation. And in the discussions that follow, the director and board are secure enough, personally, emotionally secure enough, to be open to argument and susceptible to influence without concern for who wins or loses the debate or power. The director still stands as the leader of the organization. Where the director used to once marginalize or shield the board, he now engages and challenges them. Do you sometimes feel like you just really don't know and the director doesn't want you to know what's going on? Hopefully not. But yet, as you work with your directors long enough and with the organization, I believe you'll find that sometimes the director just doesn't bring you some big messes he's dealing with. And maybe he's chosen not to, but that's part of the story, right? As we go along in the mission, years down the road, it's part of the story of what happened in the past. In doing this, and being vulnerable with the board, I believe the director feels a loss of control, but they'll perform better when surrounded by talented people such as y'all on the board. The lesson organization depends on a lonely and heroic leader. The more skilled leadership and better governance the organization will have. And so we have this balance between the director and the board. It can be tempting for the director to earn the board's confidence by masking all the ambiguities. But a director can earn the board's trust by exposing the ambiguities and then grappling together to make sense of the situation. And when those kinds of things end up at the board level, I believe you're going to have a very engaged board who it's going to take a lot to work through those things and understand what's going on. Conventional wisdom is to provide specific and fixed guidelines to both the board and directors. This normally results in more clarity and less governance, comfort at the cost of impact. And few partnerships succeed on the strength of clear boundaries. Now, I know we need direction, we need parameters when we talk board and director, but yet can we work together with our director? Can he bring us the tough things that he's up against, the hard things within the organization to grapple together with? A board meeting that is focusing on generative work will have ambiguous or problematic agenda items rather than reports and routine motions. Good work relies on the balance between opportunity and capacity. Where's the board at as far as dealing with these issues? Is this a match for the skill level? And it is energizing when we have the capacity and it stretches us to deal with some of the things within our organizations. Where are we at with time? We're good. How many more minutes yet? I'm thinking it's about 10. Okay. Also, when we work together as boards, we talk together. I believe we need to suspend the rational conversations that we have at times and just dive in and really have a robust dialogue and get the generative ideas on the table. I know after a recent board meeting, a board member came to me and he said, "I think we should have done this." And I said, "That's brilliant. Why didn't you say that in the board meeting?" However, I believe if he would have felt comfortable disagreeing, he would have disagreed. If there had been the kind of dialogue and setting for that, he would have done that. Really good financial input from him, but we had already made the motion and moved on. There's all kinds of questions you can ask. Who sees the situation differently? What are we missing? What does the situation look like from the vantage point of constituents most affected by the decision at hand? What problems might the proposed solution create? What's the best possible outcome? What's the worst case scenario? And what is the next question that we can discuss? The board is typically situated on the edge of the organization, close enough to understand the organization's aims, operations, and culture, yet far enough removed to have some perspective, distance, and detachment. In other words, I believe boards are the perfect place to do generative work, where you really brainstorm about the tough situations going on in your organizations. This approach of generative thinking requires more self-discipline and responsibility than traditional governance does. Board members need to become prepared to rise to the occasion, work diligently as a group, expect to be intellectually taxed by complex and consequential questions. There will be no falling asleep in these board meetings if done well. And then how board members think is more important than what they know. What you know is important, but how you think about your mission, how you interact with your director is more important than what you know. I'm just going to open it up at this point. I am throwing a few ideas out here that may be a little different than what you've experienced, and yet I am very open to learning and growing too. And I see a lot of wisdom in this room. So what do you have any thoughts, any questions, anything you would like to share, maybe experiences that you have had? And I did put this slide up. I read this book, got a lot of good information from it. Some of it's here in the literature. Governance is Leadership, Reframing the Work of Nonprofit Boards. If you have a chance to get this book, it's a long read, but a lot of good things in there. Very challenging to the board, to the boardroom and board thought. So what's your thoughts?
Carmen's. I ask you, under generative thinking, the third line, the challenge that governance leadership poses directly is more about, I missed that.
Okay.
And assuming greater responsibility.
The challenges that governance as leadership poses for the director is more about sharing responsibility than assuming greater responsibility. As in the director, it's more important that he shares greater responsibility than assumes it. I love to hear some people add to this. I know there's a lot of wisdom in the room here.
Marcus, I would pose a question, and that is probably how should the director and the chairman be communicating? Obviously, a director can't be pulling information from all board members about all the issues outside the board.
So you're asking how the director and the board chairman should be communicating outside the boardroom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's about issues prior to board meeting or outside of the board. What is too much and what is not enough?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question. What's too much and what's not enough with the director communicating with the board chairman? Are there some thoughts?
Sometimes the board can maybe feel that both the chairman and the director are at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes the board can feel like there's no dialogue between the chairman and the board. There needs to be that balance.
Mm-hmm. Well, what have you seen as you serve on the board?
What kind of organization it is, size mm-hmm. of the organization. Well, I think there's a safe spot, where a sweet spot, you want to call it that, where the chairman feels safe in communicating when there's a question or when he hears things on the street. And that the director feels safe to make a phone call to the chairman spontaneously or whatever may come under his need of the day. As a director, I thought maybe
it depends on personalities too.
Yeah.
And it depends, like you said, on the size of the organization.
you said you talk more to the chairman than you do to your wife. I can understand what you're saying, but elaborate on that.
Yeah. Well, that was for about a week in a crisis situation. I think a lot of it...
I sense that's good because it's a place to go for relief.
I would feel there's importance with the chairman, with someone on the board, knowing what's going on for accountability's sake. And when you come up to a tough decision as a director, to bring your whole board with, right? For some reason, problems don't wait till the day before board meeting, right? They come up the day after. And some of these decisions need to be made before next board meeting. And maybe the chairman needs to call an emergency meeting. At the same time, if the board or board chairman does not know what's going on and decisions have got to be made, your director is at a disadvantage without input. Now, that's crisis situations. I would feel that the chairman should know enough to be able to put the agenda together about what's important to talk about at the next board meeting without having to call you the day before and ask what happened in the last month. But yeah, I'm sure it can be taken too far the other way too.
I think that's important, that there's a balance of communication happening between the chairman and the director that is unique from the rest of the board members. Not that there's a special inside track that they have, but there is an inside responsibility that's unique from the rest of the board members. Would you agree?
Yeah. And I would feel as the board has asked him to be the point man, right, as chairman on the board, and to take some of that role.
I would say the chairman has the responsibility to maintain communications with both the director and the board so that trust stays in place. Because it's when the trust starts to erode in either one of those, the chairman has a very difficult role there. He's got to be able to know his counterpart on both sides, maintain that relationship so the trust does not erode. You said earlier about the balance between separate responsibilities and yet vulnerable enough for something that we're bringing the issues to each other, and being able to trust each other. Well, think of both on that phone call after the board meeting that he's directing his direction on. That issue is something that could destroy trust with other board members. The chairman's just going to need to know that that's got to be something he takes to the rest of the board. Delicate balance. I don't think there's the 10 steps to success.
I wish it would be 10 steps to success, or what to do in this situation, right? I think it feels good to me, having been in both roles, to have the board chairman communicate with the board what he feels is necessary, because he knows the board. I know there's been times board chairman, you know, I'll hear things, but I just don't feel it's right to throw it out in front of the whole board until we have more information. But then at the appropriate time, and there needs to be trust with the board, with the board chairman, that he's going to bring them things that he needs to. Good point. More thoughts? More thoughts on that? More questions that we want to discuss as a group? Anything you want to add?
There's some times we do. And we also involve, we have an assistant chairman. So we've been involved. I'm with the Fresh Start organization there in Southern Indiana. And I have a lot of times from the director or administrator, I'll get maybe, you know, a dozen calls a week. Next week I might not get any, you know. Depends what's going on. But then it's still, we kind of have a three-man. You know, we always meet. You know, say even every, have like a pre-board meeting, meet an hour before and discuss what all needs to be shared with everyone. That's been a blessing to me. And like I say, I probably get more calls than the assistant guy does, but still, I like to have that extra person in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it helps. I feel like.
Referring to an assistant administrator or assistant?
Assistant chairman.
Chairman, okay.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's one thing that our organization does not have right now would be an assistant administrator. So he finds himself, he wants to bounce some ideas off of board members on day-to-day administration things too. And that might be something we're looking at too, to put someone else in as an assistant to him.
You know, some of the most delicate, in-depth, time-consuming situations involve people. And so one thing that we've done at Silver Springs is set up an HR committee, which is a board chairman, and actually it's the vice chairman, but it doesn't have to be the vice chairman. Those are the two people who know exactly what's going on with personnel in the ministry. And, you know, those are a big... I don't want to call them a threat. There are people, right? But those are the big things that trip us up sometimes. How do we deal well with them? And they take so much time and energy, and yet half your board really isn't going to be interested in, you know, that, or maybe do well with it. That's a good, very good. Any more thoughts? We are out of time. Okay, well, hopefully this was helpful. God bless you all as you serve. Boards are very needed, and I would just love to see boards become even more effective in our ministries. And I know our people on our team want to know the board well enough that they respect them, and I think that really helps our directors too, as boards work alongside our directors. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from REACH 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from REACH or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.